Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo. Alex Reamer, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rob Bradford on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
You know, an easy decision that I did it, and I felt like there was going to be, you know, a lot of options for me.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
30th came around, things escalated very, very quickly. There were multiple teams, a lot of strong interest, and I had to, you know, make what was the best decision for me. And when Elton called and spoke with my agent, you know, he laid down his offer. I was very surprised, you know, that there was that strong interest for me being here. And make the decision very easy.
So that was Judas Horford, according to Jermaine Wiggins.
Oh my goodness.
One of the great traders of our time.
Gary.
Yes. Right.
The Benedict Arnold of basketball.
Public enemy number one. There should be no video tribute to Al Horford when they play the Sixers. Nope.
Reamer, Wiggy, Bradfo, 617-779-7937. Here until 1 o'clock today, a 4-hour stint for us on our big reunion show.
Right.
It's the first time in weeks we are all together. And Wiggy, I thought you would be defending Al Horford.
No.
Because what did Horford do? He signs a 4-year deal with Philly worth $97 million overall, goes to north of $100 million if they win the championship and that, you know, West in that chance. But according to Adrian Wojnarowski, whose word we take as gospel, the Celtics offered Horford significantly less than the Sixers did.
Well, should!
Let's pause.
So Horford looked out for number one.
Hold on, you're missing a point. Pause on
that.
Jackie McMullen also reported that the Celtics offered him a 4-year and a healthy competitive offer.
Woj versus Jackie Mack, I don't know.
Jackie Mack is pretty plugged in.
But does healthy offer, though, does that mean that they match Philadelphia's offer?
Let's just throw a number out there just for ish and giggles, right?
Sure.
Let's just say the Celtics threw 4 years, $80 million at him.
Okay.
And, you know, the...
Right, $497 was
so
the Philly
four,
deal.
So let's say call it $17 million, right?
Sure.
You don't think... From the standpoint of Al Horford still getting his money, the Celtics just gave him, you know, they gave him a big, huge $113 million deal when he originally signed here from Atlanta. You don't think that you would look and go, you know what? I love playing for Boston. I love Brad Stevens as a coach. You know, we signed Kemba Walker. We got the young guys. You know, I already know that against the Sixers, my overall record is 9-3, 4-1 in the playoffs. So why not stick in Boston? We can beat them. We've proven that we can beat them. And they beat them without a superstar before.
Because $17 million is still $17 million. If we're talking about the 480, which, you know, again, Jack McMullen, you're right, does say healthy 4-year offer. But I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means that how much less it was in the Philly offer. I think if the Celtics had matched the Philly offer, we would have heard about it by now in those explicit terms. So the fact that we haven't heard that tells me it was less.
So let's say it came down a little bit less.
Yeah, well, people, don't you want to play for what you're worth?
I mean, ultimately,
why would you want to play somewhere? I mean, Al Horford, again, did not come up through the Celtics organization. He signed here as a free agent.
But it's not like this is his first deal. It's one thing if it's your first deal.
Yeah, he's made lots of money.
He's made a ton of money. So don't you want to be in a place that you feel like is comfortable? You know the system. You know the players. You know the community. You talk about how great the community is. And then Is it about that extra $15 million when you've made a ton of money to now go play for, you know, let's call it their rival?
Because maybe he thinks the Sixers are in better position to contend than the Celtics.
When you've beaten them.
Yeah, because of him, because of his defensive ability, his ability to shut down Embiid. So Horford might look at it and go, not only are the Sixers offering me more money than the Celtics, and you're right, Wiggy, it might just be a little more, but more money than the Celtics, and I think we're better. I think we are better and can win and can compete for a championship. So he's taking more money and going to what he thinks is a better team.
And he's going to the enemies.
So how does that make him a traitor, though?
Why do you care, Wiggy?
Like, why do I care?
Because
Rob Nihilus Bradford here. I mean,
well, no, but
all right, that's
but
it. Everybody,
no,
go home.
No. I'm not saying why do you care about the subject, but why do you care if Al Horford leaves? Because if they sign him to a 4-year deal,
hold on. There you go. Good job, John. Romney, what's going on with you? You're so morose this segment. Do you know what it was?
Hold on, let me just soak it in.
Adam Levine.
See, it makes everyone feel better, right?
Yay. Yeah, I was anti this 20 minutes ago. Now I'm
right.
Pro.
That's what I mean.
He's being a cheerleader right
that's
now.
That's right.
That's a Laird-esque drop right there, right?
Give me a G. Give me an R. Give me an E. Give me a G. I could be a. Ooh, if there's a hill man. I could be a hill boy. How about that? like a groupie. You know, like. There you go.
Hill boys.
There you go. Boy, yes.
Jerry Callahan just rolled over in his grave.
I could be a groupie.
I think, you know, like Beyonce has the beehive and, you know, Rihanna, I forget what they call Rihanna.
There you go, Wiggy. The
believers.
Yeah. The believers. And
so there we go.
The Swiftians.
Do you know what? Yes.
You could be a hillbilly.
So we finally have it. Thank you, Rob. I have my pitch for Monday morning for third voice on the Hillman Morning Show.
So bad.
I can't wait. I think they're going to go for it. You're upset because you thought we were going to talk Red Sox at 11 o'clock. Unfortunately,
will you let me finish? Although I don't mind. You can drop that in any time.
Let Bradford finish. Go. What is
it? My point is why if they offer him a 4-year deal, he signs a 4-year deal. If you sign Al Horford to a 4-year deal, you're insane. You're insane. His kneecaps are shredded. Okay, he's gonna be a year and a half from now.
Okay,
he's gonna be a player like he's a good guy to have for 10 minutes a game. Right. That's
so
it.
He's gonna drop.
So
off.
Why do you care? That's my point. Is that he's
right.
not
it's,
part of the future.
No
he's
big
not
loss
part.
Is what you're
he's
saying.
Not part of the solution.
But we're taught, but the it's not about the future because we all know in the NBA you don't build for the future, you don't play for the future, you play for right now.
I'm not confident that he would have been able to get through this year and be he. A lot of times
he played in 68 games,
right?
Last
but
year.
A lot of times this year, didn't we say this is not the Al Horford that you need?
No, he was a step behind.
Yeah, but we also said when you look at this team, right? You look at where they are. Without Al Horford, this team as it's constructed right now, where would you place them in the East? Eastern Conference.
Third.
Okay, third, right?
Yeah.
Behind who?
Philadelphia and Milwaukee.
Okay, let's say you add Al Horford. On
third.
You would still put them behind Philadelphia?
Yeah.
No, that's wrong. Right?
I don't think Al Horford makes that big a difference
for
Philadelphia.
For this year, he would have been a much better addition for
I
them
think
than,
that Al Horford is trending in the right wrong Kanter. Direction, and you have to make tough decisions.
So, it's nice to have Al Horford
on the team.
So
sure,
Philadelphia,
fine.
So Philadelphia gets rid of Jimmy Butler leaves Philadelphia. Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, that team, they lose J.J. Redick. That team, you're saying, is better than a Celtics team that has already beaten pretty much that team without Kemba Walker. And you add Al Horford and Kemba Walker, you're saying
you're taking away Kyrie Irving.
But you're replacing Kemba Walker.
I agree with you, Wiggy. I think Horford for next year.
I think Al Horford would have helped the Celtics. It would have been nice to have him on the team.
If Al Horford's here, they now can compete with Milwaukee to win the Eastern Conference.
So how do you get...
Agree or disagree?
I think they can compete anyway.
Man, you think they can compete and win the Eastern Conference?
Yes, I have faith.
With this team, how do they defend the Philadelphia 76ers with...
Well, Ben Simmons has to learn how to hit a jump shot first.
No, what was the biggest issue? And I give Mark James credit on this.
Uh-oh.
He said that, and if you look statistically, the Al Horford defended Joel Embiid better than anybody in the NBA.
Yes.
So when you look at the 76ers and you look at the Boston Celtics front court, how do you defend Al Horford and Joel Embiid if you're the Boston Celtics?
Miles Turner.
No, Taco. Taco.
Taco
Falls.
Taco
yes.
and Time Lord?
Yes, it's Taco Time.
Taco Time Lord?
But the problem is, Wiggy, is that I don't disagree that they would be better and it would be a more...
You would compete. No,
right, but you can't... But to get Al Horford on the team, you were going to have to give him a contract that was going to hamstring
you for years to come.
If
you want to rip Al Horford for being a traitor, if you will, I would maybe go on him declining the $30+ million player option.
No, because he knew he could get more money.
I know, but on an annual average basis,
if he knows I can get $80 million, why am I going to take 30?
Well, on an annual average value basis, one year earnings.
Basketball annual means nothing. It's all about the contract, right?
It's the most money he could have made next year would have been opting into his option here. Would have had a $30 million salary.
No, the most money he could have made was signing a new deal.
But he's not making $30 million this year.
He's making 90 versus 30. Which one's more?
It's going to be spread out over a four-year period, though.
Which one's more?
I don't know. I wasn't so good at math. Not like you.
So, therefore... He would have been making, let's call it
in
like...
In fairness, you were concentrating on your cheerleading skills.
I was, yes. Let's call it
$80 million, because, I mean, we don't know. All we know is Jackie Mack said it was a healthy four-year offer. So let's call it $80 million. So he could have made $80 million over the next 4 years, playing for a team in Boston where he knows what his role is, knows what the team...
Well, hold on, though. But if we're to believe reports, Horford didn't want to play center anymore, at least on a regular basis.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have to play center. They still could have signed Enes Kanter.
I don't think they could have.
I think they could have.
Wiggy, you're missing the problem.
But he would have been the center.
He's not going to play any center.
You're saying this, that you want to bring Al Horford back on a one-year deal or a two-year deal. It wasn't going to happen.
Would you have signed him? You would want him, but you can't.
That's the point.
Do I think he's worth $80, $90 million? No.
So you would have signed him to a four-year deal.
In this market, in the NBA, the way it is now, that's the going rate. I would have wanted Al Horford... Based on the team that I have right now, are you a better team with Al Horford?
This year you would be. I agree with Rob, though.
I'm worried about this year, but I don't give a crap.
Well, it all matters, though, Wiggy. It all matters with the cap.
You can't get him on the team just by saying, hey, Al Horford, I want you on the team, but I want you on a one-year deal or a two-year deal.
No, I get him on 4 years. I understand that. So I might have to, maybe I move on from him year three of that deal.
And then you're hamstrung.
No, you wouldn't be hamstrung because that's how these contracts work. But there are a lot of teams that like those type of contracts, right? So who knows when you look at the Al Horford situation? We're talking about the Boston Celtics. Would they have been a better team today with Al Horford than they are without him?
Yes, but you'd have to sign him to a four-year deal to get him here.
Right, I have no problem with that.
You know, Kyrie
so you have no issue with Al Horford being an albatross for potentially 3 years. Let's say that this is the last real full year he could
give
you.
Well, how do we know that, though? I mean, now we're basing it off of, we're saying, okay, what if Kemba Walker gets hurt next year?
But Al Horford has more of a recent history and injury history than Kemba Walker, and he's older. He's three or four years older.
Gordon Hayward came down on his ankle the wrong way, and it should have been going straight and was going right. So injuries are going to happen all the time in sports, right? So you can't say, okay, I got to be wary about signing guys.
But a guy can be of greater risk of injury than another guy.
Yeah,
right?
But Al Horford, he still played in 68 games, right?
Right, but he had that lingering knee issue. He sat out those, I mean, but I mean, 34-year-old forward. With a lingering knee issue, like that is a health risk.
He's 32 years old, right? Oh. So if I know I can get Al Horford for next year and potentially the year after that, right? Because my window of potentially winning would have been this year and next year. Then I kind of go from there because we've seen what this league is. Guys are moving all over the place. To say that you're
guys who are valuable. Al Horford would be an albatross with two years left on his deal.
Yes, I agree with Alex.
Yeah, but to say he's not valuable just goes to show you that you know nothing about basketball.
Well, Danny Ainge apparently agrees because he wasn't willing to match the Philadelphia offer. I mean, this was a calculated move for the Celtics.
Well, maybe he didn't want to go up that high, but they still gave him a healthy offer because it all goes back to whether or not, in my mind, I believe Al Horford's a trader.
Well, it could be a healthy offer and have been significantly less than what the Sixers offered, correct? Two things can be true at the same time. It could have been a three-year deal.
A healthy offer doesn't like mean three significantly
years,
less.
Why? 3 years, $60 million. That's a healthy offer,
but
yeah,
for a 33-year-old
guy.
Jackie Mack said it was a four-year healthy offer.
I don't know if she said... Oh, she said four years?
She said yes.
Maybe we'll offer this to you, but we don't want you to really take it. Luke in Maine knows why Horford doesn't want to be
guys,
hey, Luke, what's up?
Hey, Alex, you said it. Real quickly, a minute ago, this is the biggest reason why he didn't want to be here. He doesn't want to play center.
Right.
He said it over and over again. It's grinding him down physically. And that's probably why the Celtics were cautious about the offer they gave him. They don't want to invest that money in a player that's breaking down towards the end of his career. So, to me, I think that they did the right thing by letting him walk. They gave him a decent offer, let him walk. Now they got a situation where they can maybe trade one of their wings, like a Jaylen Brown or Gordon Hayward, to Pacers for, like, Sabonis or Miles Turner. I think that they're in a pretty good position. It probably won't happen in the offseason, but you're looking at, like, mid-season trade, like, from a position of, like, need to want for both teams. So we'll see what happens with that. I don't mind letting him walk, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, that...
Why would the Pacers trade Miles Turner?
Because they need Jaylen Brown.
I stunned you.
Why do they need Jaylen Brown?
Because that's the type of position they need.
They got Victor Oladipo and they got Malcolm Brogdon.
But Luke in Maine is exactly right. What is this? What is she chanting?
You got
UCLY from Bring It On.
I like Bring It On. That's a great, great movie
Was that the best sports movie of all time?
And Alex's favorite? Bring It On! Oh my God, what a great movie.
Some of the songs are kind of dirty from it. I was trying to figure out which ones I could play.
Well, like what do they say? Don't say our bleep don't. They say our bleep don't stink, right? Or, oh no, take a big whiff.
Take a big whiff
because...
I get a feeling that, is it true that Jerry Callahan's favorite sports movie of all time is Bring It On?
Yes, he loves the shooting.
He said that numerous times.
No, he said his is Bring It On, In It to Win It.
Oh, the sequel. Yeah. The sequel.
Favorite Christmas movie as well is Big Mama's Christmas. I'm like, really? That's another classic.
This is the biggest takeaway from today. Alex Reimer's favorite sports movie is Bring It On.
It's a great... You don't like Bring It On?
Nah.
Is that the one with Gabrielle Union?
Yeah. It's a great 617-779-7937. Well, I also want your thoughts on Russell Westbrook trade as well, Wiggy, because you were stumping for the Celtics to get Russell Westbrook here.
Yeah, they had a chance.
Yeah, I think it would have been a big mistake-o. We'll do that. But first, we trend.
This is Boston Sports Station. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
And the Red Sox fell to the Dodgers 11-2 last night. Chris Sale gets hit around again, allowing 5 runs for the 3rd consecutive start. Overall, the season, Rob, Sale 3-9 with a 4.27 ERA.
Not going to get it done.
6-13 in his starts this season. Has not won at Fenway. Is it now a full calendar year?
Full calendar year. Not going to get it done.
Chris Sale has won at Fenway
Park.
That's
a problem.
It is, as you wrote on WEEI.radio.com.
You aren't
going
to get where you need to go without Chris Sale.
You know, we can talk about the bullpen all beyond. But no, it means nothing if you don't win when your ace is on the mound. I agree with you, Rob. David Price versus Hyunjin Ryu today.
That's a good matchup
right
there.
First pitch 7:05, pregame 6:05, Shaw's Star Market, WEEI, Red Sox Radio Network, Joe Castig and Sean McDonough on the call. Red Sox also made a trade yesterday, trading 2 prospects to the Orioles for righty Andrew Kashner. Kashner is 9-3 this season with a 3.83
ERA. When's the last time everyone talks about the NBA offseason being better or the transactions being better than baseball? Yeah, but when's the last time the NBA traded 2 17-year-olds? Let's go!
It's next level. It was trending everywhere.
Is that a little cruel? I mean, these are kids.
A little bit.
Kids.
I mean, it's not cruel that these guys get $100,000 signing bonuses a year ago.
Were they stateside or are they still in an academy?
I don't think they were hanging out at Hamilton Wenham High getting signing bonuses for 16-year-olds.
Didn't Kyler Murray get $3 or $4 million or something like that?
Yeah, but he's not 16 years old.
Well, when he got it, right? Wasn't he younger when he got it? I mean, sometimes it's more.
I hope not. He was playing in college. You hadn't even gone to college. These kids are getting this money at 16 years old.
Well, you know,
they're like sophomores in high school.
Are they stateside, though, Rob, or are they in the
Dominican?
You know
what? They're in the Dominican.
So they're at an academy right now.
The Yankees just gave that one kid $5 million, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well,
he's 16 years old.
So if you're traded from the Red Sox to the Orioles as a 17-year-old in the Dominican academy, do you go from one academy to another?
Yeah,
I mean,
you go to Gulf Coast League. Yes. You know what? You don't care. You have your money.
And you don't care.
I don't think they're saying, you know what? I've had such a history as a 16-year-old with the Boston
Red Sox. The first time I saw the Green Monster in person.
Oh, my goodness. No.
Summer League news as well. Wiggy was broken up over this. The Celtics lost the Grizzlies last night, 94-88.
Yeah, that was horrible.
In the quarterfinals.
They could have used Al Horford in that game.
Sunny. Temperatures in the 80s today. That's what's trending.
Right back to Reimer, Wiggy, and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
In some ways, Russell Westbrook doesn't appear to be an ideal fit for what D'Antoni and Daryl Morey have wanted to do in Houston. What kind of tactical adjustments will he have to make?
Do they go all twos now?
Instead of all threes? I don't know.
No, you know, I think... I, it, I think Mike needs to find a way to talk to these guys at this stage of their career, get them to buy into doing things just a little bit different. I think I want to put a little bit on James, too. I think he's going to have to adjust his game a little bit, be a little bit more willing to make decoy cuts, not just stand there when he doesn't have the ball on the offensive end. I think that will help his teammates, the more ball movement, more player movement. But I put a little bit on James. If he can adjust a little bit, I think this can be a big thing for Houston.
That was Rex Chapman talking about Russell Westbrook, the newest member of the Houston Rockets. Big trade early Friday morning in the NBA.
Huge!
You know
Huge.
What? When I was playing you, Wiggy, I feel like there was something missing, and now I know what it was. I wasn't making enough decoy cuts.
That's you were not.
I felt like...
Well, it's hard to decoy cut when you have the basketball in your hand.
Well, it's hard
when you're playing one-on-one.
In fairness, it's hard to decoy cut when you have 400 pounds, like... encompassing you.
Well, no, when you're playing one-on-one, it's hard to decoy cut because you have the basketball. You need to be basketball out of your
hands.
That's
my game. It's decoy cutting with the basketball.
Oh,
there's a little Russ Westbrook in your game, Rob, I would
say. It kind of is.
Yeah, very similar.
I feel like, I don't know if it was Mutt or Keith when they were announcing if they actually said that. So, yeah, see,
exactly.
A little bit of Russell
Westbrook. I heard this, boy, this is taking a really long time. This is tough to watch. Heard a lot of stuff like that. Didn't exactly hear Russ Westbrook comparisons.
Yeah, it was about 10 minutes.
10 minutes before either of you scored a point. Yeah, absolutely.
No, 10 scored. Minutes before the game was over.
Oh, boy. Time flies when you're having fun.
No, it was again.
The first couple of minutes was a failout.
It was a defensive struggle, and then you started making it
right. I couldn't figure out why. I've been reflecting on it a lot, Wiggy, and I couldn't figure out why I was so tired. And on it, this is, swear to God, like it was because I was being physically manhandled. That takes a lot out of you.
That takes a lot of energy out of
you. It does take a lot of energy out of
you. Rob was pesky, though. I predicted that you would be pesky on the floor.
I was not. I was sucking wind.
Yeah, but you were.
You thought I was going to be sucking wind.
I would have just quit. Both of you were sucking
wind. But a lot of leaning and bodying and all that takes a lot out of you.
It does. That's the lesson to be learned.
As we're playing our great music today, Russell Westbrook, Wiggy, I mean, I think that this is going to be a disaster in Houston. It would have been a disaster here in Boston. I can't believe you wanted the Celtics to trade for this guy.
I don't get, like, see, this is where winning in the NBA, if you're a Celtics fan, right, winning should be the only thing that matters. Am I lying?
Sure.
If I'm lying, somebody please call in and tell me I'm lying. Yeah. It's about winning.
Winning the whole thing?
Winning or having the opportunity to win the whole
thing. Having the opportunity to
you
win.
So you want to win more games than you lose is what you're saying?
No, I want to get to the NBA Finals and have a chance to win. I don't want to get bounced in the second round or the first round and go, you know what, that was a great season.
Having the opportunity, so for the Celtics could have sat back and not got Kemba Walker, but you get Kemba Walker, you have the opportunity to win.
Well, if you, my thing is with Russell Westbrook, I mean, we knew that he was out of there. We knew that once Paul George left, we knew that, hey, maybe we know he's gone. We know that the Oklahoma City Thunder are trying to get whatever they can, young pieces back. And so if you can trade for Russell Westbrook and you could pair up Russell Westbrook and Kemba Walker, not a pretty good. It's not.
Duo. But Wiggy, but you have to have. You have seasons after this one, which is why you don't want to sign Al Horford to a big 4-year deal. You don't want to take out Russell Westbrook with 4 years and $171 million remaining on his contract. He's the most inefficient scorer
so
in the league.
Let me ask you
He's 30 years old.
Let me ask you something.
Five procedures on his right knee, including one in May. So I think his knee is going to be a major issue going forward.
Right.
Russell Westbrook for 4 more years is a terrible investment.
Let me ask you something. How did the Paul George contract work out for the Oklahoma City? How many more years they got left on his contract?
Well, now zero because he wanted out.
Right, exactly. Yes. That's how the NBA works. You can move on from guys. Guys can move on. You don't just because you sign a 4-year deal doesn't mean you got to
keep.
We just saw Paul George sign a 4-year deal last season with the Oklahoma City Thunder and said, you know what? Once his boy Kawhi Leonard called him up and said, hey, let's go. Why don't we go out to play in L.A., he was able to get out of
there. But here's the thing, though, Wiggy. Paul George is still a really good player who the Clippers wanted and who Kawhi Leonard wanted to play with.
So you don't think Russell Westbrook is a really good player?
Russell Westbrook has less trade value than Paul George.
But do you think
his trade value only decreases over time?
The simple question is this. Is Russell Westbrook still a top 15 player in this league, top 12?
This entering this year, he's borderline, maybe, but next year he probably won't be. The year after that, Wiggy, it's an albatross of a contract.
You're not wrong about how the NBA works sometimes, but you use that argument you use that argument with Al Horford too, and that doesn't work. Paul George, it works with.
What do you mean?
So you say, oh well, you signed him to a 4-year deal. You're able to trade him after a couple of years.
No, and Russell Westbrook played in 73 games last year.
You can only trade a guy if there's a market for him. There was a market for Paul George. Kawhi wanted to play with him.
And guess what? There was a market for Russell Westbrook because he got traded to
the Rockets.
Right.
Well, the Rockets also got out of Chris Paul's contract, which might be the only contract in the league worse than Westbrook's. And Chris Paul doesn't get along with James Harden. I mean, the Rockets, I don't think could have returned
all
with
I'm
those
saying
two
is
this year.
If
they were in a corner.
If you're the Celtics, it's no different when the original plan was the Anthony Davis. If you want to win in this league and the NBA, it's about having superstars. And you need superstars on your team. And generally, you need two of them, right? So if you're in a position right now, we know that the Celtics probably have one in Kemba Walker. We don't know where.
No, but you know, that's what they're, and Wiggy, you're not wrong, but what they're banking on, and I think what they are thinking more than we're thinking, is that Jason Tatum is a superstar. Danny Ainge, I believe, thinks that Jason Tatum is going to be at the level when we're pairing all the best pairings of the NBA that we're going to be saying is Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum.
And Gordon Hayward return to superstar form.
The only problem I have with that is that's unknown. That is unknown. We don't know. So we're basically rolling the dice on that one, rolling the dice on everything. With guys like Russell Westbrook, we know what they are. With guys like Anthony Davis, we know what they are. With a guy like Kyrie Irving, we know what
sometimes,
he is.
Sometimes it's better to roll the dice than it is to mortgage your future because of what you think is certain.
But listen, that's a problem that people in basketball, like basketball fans have to understand, especially Celtics fans, there's no future in the NBA. Teams are not building organizations or building their franchise based off of guys that they're drafting. When you look at the teams that are winning, that are being successful, and it's very rare that we see outliers like the Golden State Warriors, who ultimately have draft two guys in Klay Thompson and Steph Curry to turn out to be, you know, top 15 players in the league. A lot of these guys, it's because of the way the NBA is now and the players have the freedom to do what they want and move the way that they want. You have to build that way, or you got to try to put your team in that situation.
Well, but you're right, but at the same time, you can't mortgage. This is about winning now, but you can't mortgage your future. You cannot, if you're building an organization like Danny Ainge is trying to, you can't just say, hey, you know what, 1 year and then we're going to figure it out from there.
You
got to
keep some flexibility.
And Houston was going down that road, by the way. Houston was going down the road of, hey, they had their run, and then now they're doubling down even more. And they're going to have a little bit
because
more of a
run. Because they know that's the only way to win.
Houston already had tons of money tied up at the point guard positions. They are trading a salary for a salary, right? So, and for them, I don't think it's going to work out, but at least it's better than rolling out declining Chris Paul and James Harden again. So I understand why Houston did it. They felt like they had no choice. Have a choice.
You're basing. You don't think it's going to work out on your opinion and the way you see it.
I just don't. Well, I mean, Westbrook. If I look at the numbers here, Westbrook is he has a 30.8% 3-point shooter. It's the worst in league history among 110 players with at least 2,750 3-point attempts. So Russell Westbrook is one of the worst shooters in league history.
He's going to an offense in which you
can only shoot threes.
No. Because you know what you sound like? You sound stupid now. Because what you're saying is
my great numbers.
No. He's not a great 3-point shooter.
I don't think
shooter.
You understand. He took the paper and he waved it in the air.
I'm emphatic about it.
But that's what I'm saying. You're basing it
on. Research.
No,
that's numbers.
No.
Westbrook is a bad 3-point shooter.
But when
shooter.
You look at
Go.
Russell Westbrook, is he not an elite NBA player?
He's an elite scorer.
Okay.
Averaged a triple-double again
last
year.
He's an elite scorer.
I understand that. He's a great player.
That's what matters.
If you're in a system in which you can only shoot threes or layups and you're one of the worst 3-point shooters in league history, how is that a great match?
You just said
match?
You can only shoot threes or layups, so why not shoot layups?
Well, because you can't always get to the hoop.
Russell Westbrook does a pretty good job
loves
of it.
Loves his mid-rangers as well. Jeff is in Maine to talk about this story. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing today?
What's up?
So, I mean, I don't know why everybody's talking about wanting to get Westbrook. We got Kemba Walker. He's a great player. I don't know why we're already starting to talk negative about him.
We were saying we could pair up Westbrook and Walker.
Right.
Not get rid of Kemba. Pair up the two of them.
Oh, I don't think that would work at all. I mean, Westbrook needs the ball 90% of the game. He needs the ball. He doesn't want to share the rock at all.
Isn't that every NBA player, though, and then they learn how to evolve? He's going to Houston Rockets. Nobody wants the ball more than James Harden.
Right, you're right. Well, let's see how that works. That's going to be fun watching those two guys battle it out for possession.
Well, I'd rather be a Rockets fan right now, looking at it and going like, you know, let's see how that works out. If I would have had Russell Westbrook, whether or not it works here, I don't know. But I'd rather as a Celtics fan go, hey, it's going to be exciting to see if this thing can work. Because if it does work, you're talking about a team that if you could put some pieces around it, can win the NBA title. The same way I feel like if Al Horford would have stuck around, you know, you might have had a chance because the league is wide open right now.
The East especially.
Well, especially the East, but even the whole league, when you look at it, I think the best team out there is the Lakers.
No. Clippers are better.
No, the Lakers are better. The Lakers are a better
team. Look at the bottom of the Lakers roster, though. I mean, do you think these guys
LeBron's
are championship
break down.
Caliber?
Anthony Davis is going to break down.
No, look at the Lakers, and you look at...
Look at this bench, though. I mean, Rondo, Danny Green, Caldwell Pope, I mean, Quinn Cook, Avery Bradley.
It's not about the bench when you're talking about teams winning championships. I mean, we saw it this year, right? Name players that came off the bench.
Well, Toronto was a complete team. Fred Van Fleet, there's one.
Didn't Van Fleet start?
No, he came off the bench.
Oh, yeah, he did come off the bench.
And did a great year in NBA Finals.
He had a good
finals.
One. Yeah, Siakam started.
Yeah,
I will bet you anything that the Lakers will not win the championship.
I bet you the Lakers win. The Lakers are the best team.
What are you guys going to do? What's the bet going to be?
I don't know. Anything.
Even though the Clippers are the favorite to win, the Lakers are a better team. Lakers, I think you're talking about.
That's got
LeBron,
Jokic, your favorite on Denver, Wiggy.
Talking LeBron, Anthony Davis, Kuzma right there. Kuzma's a very talented player.
Big drop off, though, from LeBron, Anthony Davis.
Here's what we're going to bet.
DeMarcus Cousins, too, you're forgetting.
We're going to bet your first paycheck as a casino greeter. Okay.
That it's going to be pretty expensive.
The Lakers are not going to win the
championship. Did you guys check into how much casino makers, how much they take home?
Yeah, they take home a lot of money.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Is it tips-based, or what's the hourly wage?
You can get tips.
How do you get tips? You're going around saying hello to people. Well,
you're a great greeter. Thank you.
It's handshakes. Handshake. Yeah. You need a better seat. Come on over here.
I don't think you have that type of power.
You need a good seat. You need a good seat. You need a good seat at Fratelli. Let me get my boy Nicky on the phone. We'll take you right to the front there. You need a good seat at where we were at the other night. It was amazing. Rare Steakhouse. Don't worry about it. We'll get you right up to the front. We ain't got to wait in line. Nice little handshake there. Ooh, what's that, $100 bill?
Oh, slipping under. You have a nice firm handshake as well, I bet, as a greeter.
There's an opportunity to make some money under the table.
I'm kind of baffled. What do you want to do with your life? Do you want to be a radio host or do you want to be a casino greeter?
I can do both. Listen,
WEEI's own casino greeter, right. Jermaine Wiggins.
Yeah, there's a lot of things we can do. The relationship that we can have, you know, especially with the Hillman Morning Show and Wiggy.
Are you suggesting greeter? We all are going to have to rotate and be casino greeters? I would love to see Alex Reamer as a casino greeter.
I'm seeing some low stats for salary for casino greeters.
Really? I imagine the hourly wage is low.
The average for the United States is below minimum wage for Massachusetts.
Yeah, I think you're looking at...
Because it's tips-based. I'm telling you, it's like waiters.
You're looking at the wrong casino greeters.
What do waiters make? They make, what, like $2.75 an hour and then it's tips?
But
I think
that's
greeters
just,
is similar thing.
Those are what you call your regular casino greeters.
Oh,
Jerry
okay.
and I, we're celebrity casino
Jerry's
got
to work his way up, as do you. You don't just get to the top.
No,
you got to work your way up.
No, you don't work your way up. Harris worked his way up to the top? No,
yes.
I got two championship rings, so you're able to come in.
Well, Jerry doesn't. What's he going to wear?
Well, Jerry's a celebrity.
He's going to wear his ratings book when they beat Stern from 1999.
20 years on the radio, so that's what it is. So we're not just average casino greeters.
I can't wait for all the 80-year-old women who are pulling the arm bandits. I say, Jermaine, tell us another story about the last drive in the
Super
Bowl.
There you go. See, you know how much money that's worth? That's worth more than, what is it, minimum wage.
The dumbest job. In my opinion, is the bathroom greeter. You ever go to bathrooms?
Oh,
where the
worst!
Person's
that's
in there.
A bathroom attendant.
Bathroom attendant. It's so strange. I like, please. And then you feel obligated to tip them for giving you a towel that you could have easily gotten yourself.
That's how,
that's how they make money.
Well, actually, you have to do that job before you become a casino greeter. So get ready for that one.
fortunately enough for me, I was able to play on a team that was coached by Bill Belichick and had a quarterback by the name of Tom Brady. Mm. So now I'm able to, like I said, use that in my casino greeting. So a lot of storytelling going on.
A lot of storytelling.
So we can't, because we're going to have a bathroom attendant to this bathroom here. There's enough room for it. So
that's he sits in the urinal.
So between Jerry's radio stories and my Super Bowl stories, I mean, you're not going to find
What a lethal combination you are.
You're not going to find a better, you know how they did the NBA duos? You're not going to find a better duo in all of casino greeting in the world. I'm talking Vegas.
In fairness, Jerry is very good at saying, this is the coldest beer. The beer is the coldest.
Right, see? And then he could tell us stories about how he had a beer with this one and that one, and then, you know, my Brady stories. I mean, well, you know.
Oh, he could finally tell the story when skydiving with Ned Yost. He could have a captive audience. We'll be right back.
Becca Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
The end of super teams in the NBA in the era of dynamic duels is officially blossoming right in front of us.
It started in the new era with Danny Ainge and the Boston Celtics when he put together his big three to go with Paul Pierce, added KG, and Ray Allen. Now we get to the LeBron era, as I'm calling it, where multiple players are willing to play for multiple teams. Short-term deals for MVP-level candidates. Willing to leave a team without a sign and trade. Remember when we used to talk about the fact that kind of LeBron left Cleveland and they didn't get anything in return? Or Kawhi left Toronto and they didn't get anything in return? That could kind of cripple your franchise. So I like that we now actually have parity in the NBA.
Jalen Rose and company talking about all the big moves of NBA free agency.
What's wrong with you, Wade? This is awful.
So the bottle cap challenge is going on during breaks here. We have our own kind of super team type thing going in studio. So Bradfo laid down the challenge.
I did it.
As he always does. Now explain what the bottle cap challenge is for those who don't know.
I don't know.
It's just good.
You just flip a cap off a bottle in whatever
so
way you feel.
So if you go, it's all over Twitter. So it's people are doing these insane things. You take a bottle.
Oh, my goodness. Hold on. By the way, Wiggy, you're up at Greg Hill, WAAF, at Daniel Murr.
I was going to get to that. That was my point. Hold on. Let me take care of this,
okay,
all right? So the bottle cap challenge, hashtag bottle cap challenge. I'm sure it's for a charity. I got to look this up. I don't even know. But people are doing it. It's insane. They're doing these kicks where you're kicking the cap off a bottle or you know, the long snapper. People are doing insane stuff to spin a cap off a bottle.
Kendall Jenner did it on a jet ski.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I got to watch that
Mariah
one.
Mariah Carey hit a high note and it came and
yeah, so
off.
It's all these
no
things.
Way.
So
I'm such a bad singer. I can
that
make
one
so
was doctored.
Cap
Mariah
off.
Carey's full of it.
Well, listen, we don't know.
I know one that isn't doctored was the one that I did in the studio. Where
you did it with
I,
your foot.
I expertly kicked it off, right?
You're an athlete, Rob.
I kind of am. I mean,
but
I know
anybody can kick it off. How many people can do it the way I did?
Why don't people go to my Twitter account and they say how impressive that
what
was.
What you did, Wiggy, is you did it with a pen.
Yes, okay, that's pretty impressive.
So, Wiggy, so what you do is you say your turn, much like the Ice Bucket Challenge, which is a great
5-year anniversary. Steve Buckley, by the way, a lengthy remembrance in the Athletic about it.
It was, I don't think it's how the type of impact on the world the Ice Bucket Challenge did, but it's the same idea. Mm-hmm. You pass it on to the next person. So I said, you're up, Jermaine Wiggins and Alex Reamer. So one of you two men took the challenge. So Wiggy does it.
It's
and
very
if you
difficult.
Look at it, he did it with the pen.
Which
and
is extremely, it's you know how hard it is to knock a bottle cap off of a bottle with a pen?
Not that hard.
Can you just untwist it?
I mean, that's how I can get the cap off.
Yeah,
that'd be really fun if you did it.
Yeah, but it's like nobody thinks outside the box like you. But the worst part about it,
is it the worst or is it the best?
No, it's the worst.
It could be, depending on how you're looking at
Wiggy,
it.
Wiggy, let the moment breathe a little bit, all right? The worst part about
it's been
it breathing. Is that, so, hashtag bottle cap challenge.
Hashtag
wigs out.
All caps, thank you.
You're up. Are you kidding me? At Greg Hill, WAAF, at Daniel Murr.
He also tagged you at WEI.
No, well,
Bradford
he just did it
Twitter.
So I would see it.
So you would see it? Yeah. I could see it elsewhere. Otherwise,
I mean, come on.
This is quite obsequious. I mean, you're with Jerry. Less than 48 hours ago, his big send off to Encore.
I can't have multiple friends.
And now you are cheating on him. Inside, the body's not even cold.
No, there's no cheating.
We haven't even buried him yet.
I was actually on the that's when we came up with the idea of the Hillman and Wiggy
I know,
t-shirt.
That's even worse. That's Friday. I mean, I'm still like six hours after he
You know
was
what
told.
Jerry actually said to me that our night out at Uh-oh. Eating dinner?
If this is going to hurt my feelings, don't say it.
It's going to hurt your feelings. You might want to take your headphones off. He actually said you would be a perfect with Greg Hill and Danielle.
Would be. And I think me and Danielle would have a great dynamic going as well. You have the female. I mean, I've a lot of girlfriends
as
well.
As Wiggy.
As well.
Right, you're just criticizing him for the exact same thing you're doing.
Danielle and I have great rapport.
That's why I call
him
a fraud.
The two of you are fraud.
I'm not fraud. I've been out in the open and
we
honest.
We pull in the same time every morning. I'm the only one here
loyal to Jerry Callahan.
I mean, me and Dan, we always yak it up with each other, walking into the station, making jokes. She has her big iced coffee. I have my iced coffee. I mean, we have great chemistry.
She's going to Carly Rae.
She can come if she wants.
Raffle,
you
see
my
this?
Ticket. Yes, how about that?
He's sitting over here.
This is
literally.
So think about
less than a minute ago talking about, wait a second, this, that, and the other. That's why I've always said this about Reamer. He's the biggest hypocrite and fraud there is out there. At least I'm up front and forward. I said, hey, listen, from day one, I said I'd be the perfect fit. And then, like I said, Jerry and I cracking drinks, eating chocolate cigars.
Chocolate cigars?
Yeah, it's at Rare Steakhouse. They have this unbelievable dessert. It comes out in a box of cigars. And everything is in chocolate. Everything's edible. The box is edible.
Can you smoke tobacco out of the chocolate cigar?
No. It's just, you know, the cigars are the chocolate. Everything's chocolate. And so, we're breaking bread. We're eating chocolate cigars. We're sitting there. We're watching a great fight at Encore Boston. You know, we're talking about potentially us being the dynamic duo in the greeting world,
industry. Yes.
In the greeting industry. And he's like,
sure,
listen.
You love that.
He goes, listen.
Your future's in the greeting industry.
He goes, you would be a great fit for the morning show. The Hillman Morning Show. I even said it. So all I'm saying is, you know what? Hey, I'm just saying, hey, a bottle chip challenge.
Let me take a step back because this show, this show. So it was born. We were like, how is this show ever going to work? Right? It's a very awkward combination of people. But initially,
I was told that you were here, Rob, because you are a Sunday staple.
I'm a staple for a lot of things.
The Bradfo buffer, which we need desperately.
But my point is, so there was genuine hate and genuine animosity between you two.
Yes.
And why was it? Because you were competing for airtime.
I still don't like Reamer.
Okay, right. But here's the thing.
Nice.
The more that we did the show, the more you guys were getting along. And it was like, we were worrying more about, you know, you guys had morphed into, hey, we are part of the highest rated show.
Right.
And the station, the Sunday morning show, and we're not so worried about getting airtime in the morning. But now,
Greg Hill, join the Hillman Morning Show.
But now we're back to square one, and I kind of like it. I kind of miss the animosity between you two, where you are now back to competing for airtime.
Yeah, I mean, I
like it.
I've said this. I've worked with my last job at Hot 96.9. I worked almost 5 years with a woman that I could not stand and did not like.
That's probably not a good example.
I do like Danielle a lot, so how about that?
Why do you say, like, you're giving an example of I worked with someone I don't like. Are you insinuating that you were...
No, but
not going to like Danielle?
No. I like Danielle because I've heard her accent. She sounds just like me.
Okay.
She got that hot, thick Boston accent.
Well, maybe they want something different. Maybe they want someone who talks like Alex.
Right, you don't
I, have
want
a hard,
like
I don't
that.
Have a hard, thick accent.
Yeah, but I have a hard, thick accent else. From the man side of point of view.
What are you saying? What? I'm a man.
No, but your accent is not, it's not there.
Jerry always told me I should have smoked more Marlboros. So in honor of Jerry, I'll do that during the break. Also in honor of Jerry, we'll get to the Red Sox in the 12 o'clock hour as well. Rob's been dying.
Exciting.
Wiggy to talk about the Andrew Kashner acquisition.
You guys just take a step back.
And Chris
you guys
Sale
pull the Fourier and just take a step back.
As well.
I'm going to put my feet up on this one.
No.
And talk to people on Twitter about my bottle cap
just
challenge.
Just engage in them.
Talk to people on Twitter.
I mean, I see that Danielle has already liked it.
Yeah,
you're on the clock, Alex. You're on the clock.
Coming up next, we have a Media Stars segment that you won't want to miss.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.